At Highland, we're all about celebrating little wins and little ways to innovate digital processes. There's no customer pain point too small for us to help with. Maybe that's why more than half of the Fortune 100 looks to Highland to connect their content and data, improve processes, and turn little efficiencies into big wins for their customers and clients. Highland, intelligent content solutions for innovators everywhere at highland.com.
Down to business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland
on News Talk.
Now, long gone are the days of the old short back and sides. In the modern world, a good barber has become just as important to men as a good hair salon is to women. But with the increased popularity comes more competition and a need to keep on top of changing trends. Joining me to discuss all this are three legendary barbers in the shape of Sam Donnelly, owner of Sam's Barbers. Vinnie McAvoy from the Empire School of Barbering also joins us, as does Veronica Smith from D16 Barbers. Sam, we might start with you. Business around since 1901, family-run chain of barbershops. You've been in this business for generations.
Yeah, no pressure there, huh? Sure. I'm 50 this year, so I left school at 15, so I'm 35 years in the business.
Good man.
So still kicking on.
And is there much, do you feel a kind of a burden of responsibility to keep the family name, to keep the whole thing, or is it about just making sure the business survives and thrives?
Yeah, it's not so much about a burden on keeping the family name and the business there. That's strong. The brand is strong. It's always there, always will be, with or without me. It's more of a burden keeping your employees happy and keeping them employed and keeping your responsibilities as a business person. That's the burden.
Yeah. I suppose one thing, Vinny, about the work of the barber is that just like we all have to eat, well, and we think maybe we all have to get our hair cut at some stage. So it's a business that there'll always be a market for.
Absolutely, yeah. And the thing we find now with the current trends in the barbering industry is, if you go back like 10 years ago, people would probably get their hair cut once every, you know, 6 to 8 weeks. With the current trends, with the styles that the younger generation want now, it's every 2 weeks.
Well, that's so good for business,
sure. For business, absolutely, you know. But then again, it comes with the responsibility. How do you handle that influx coming in?
Okay. And tell us a little bit about the Empire School of Barbering out in Tala that you run.
Yeah, well, so the Empire School of Barbering we've had since 2016. And it's changed. It's moved with the industry because the changes that we're noticing is, you know, as barbershops move on to booking systems and they get more streamlined, It becomes harder for barbers to retain clients, and so to speak, because back in the day, if you go back 5 years ago, 10 years ago, before booking systems, you had a bench full of 10 people waiting for a haircut, and you had 5 barbers working in the shop. And in the event that, you know, at different stages of their career, these barbers would be at. So if you had the newer barber in the shop, he'd turn around and say the magic word next. The person organically next in the queue would say, "No, I'm waiting on Michael." Or now I'm waiting on Vinny, the next person. But the third person who would say, you know, I don't care who cuts me hair, I'll jump in with you, you know. So what happened then organically over a week, every barber would do the same workload.
Sure.
You know, so as we move into a booking system now, which is a more streamlined system, them same 5 barbers behind the chairs no longer have 10 people on the bench. They have 10 people sitting behind the screens of a phone.
And just before I bring in Veronica, is that more efficient?
It is more efficient when done right. It is more efficient when done right.
Because I know Veronica doesn't have a booking system in our business. Is that right?
No. The shop has opened since 1991.
Yeah.
To keep it the traditional.
So tell us about the business, Veronica. 1991, who started it? What's the history of it?
So Tricia Oak, Dominic O'Connor started the business. And my auntie actually worked for them for years as well. And they had a couple of barbershops. They had one in Tala, the Academy Barbers, and then they had the College Barbers. They started it. And just after COVID, I took partnership with him. And I just started running it.
Yeah, and it's a shop with a bit of personality. You've got a TV, you've got PlayStations. Oh, yeah. Tell me just about the atmosphere in the shop.
Oh, I love the shop. Back in the shop, there's always a bit of banter going on in the shop. You know, all the lads are gas here. But I've got really, really nice staff as well. My staff are great. My niece works for me as well. I trained her in. They all just get on great, like a little family, a little team.
Good.
Yeah.
What about the current styles in men's or boys' hair grooming at the moment? The mullet, the taper, the burst fade, are these all terms and things that people ask you for?
So everyone's learning, aren't they? Everybody's learning new styles all the time because there's obviously the celebrities or whatever are going around with these haircuts and they're like, right, well, we want this. So you have to try and upskill yourself to do that, where probably Vinny will come in and teach him as well with that, like with the younger crowd. There is a lot of it, like, just trying to upskill yourself because I'm 23 years, so we're trying to upskill into the new generation of haircuts as well, all of us. But the younger people that come in, they already know how to do that. Younger barbers that come into work for us already know how to do that.
Yeah. I was maybe going to put that to Sam in terms of, you know, with Instagram and everything now, Sam, the kids probably have a picture of what they want. They come in and they say, give me this.
I'll tell you one thing, the Six Nations has an awful lot to answer for.
The rugby mullets.
I love my rugby, but I tell you one thing, I could have cringed when I seen that coming on. Yeah. These are grown men walking around with sheep herder styles. The mullet originally started down under where, like, you know what I mean, they'd shave the sides to keep it fresh and a bit of length to keep the sun off the back.
At the front party at the back and all that kind of stuff.
It wasn't made to be on the high street really walking down looking cool. There's only one person who resembles a haircut like that that looks well, and that's Shane Bourne. He's the only man I know who pulls that off.
For decades he still has it.
And see, when he was dancing, he moved with style. That hair made him move with style, and that's part of him, and that's something to do with a hairstyle. Is an individual and how they feel as a person. The mullet has no place for that, though.
So what about, I was talking to my son-in-law recently, he said, oh, they're those broccoli heads, he termed them. So these guys that have it all shaved up to here and then this big mop on top, is that very popular?
Look, everything goes these days, like, you know what I mean? Yeah. You wouldn't know what you're going to get in the door.
The skin fade and the curly mop. I was only telling the producer as well, this man came in and he had his communion picture and he wanted me to do his hair like that. He was probably about 30 years older than the picture. Like, it was,
no way.
History repeats itself, doesn't it?
Yeah.
They come back.
One thing I know is, like, you know what I mean, is when individuals coming in to get their wedding picture and they say, I want to get something cool and trendy for my wedding, and they take out a picture of a mullet or something like that because they haven't a clue, and you're going to go, dude, no, in 30 years time looking back at them pictures, that's not the picture hairstyle you want to be seeing.
That's the picture on your mantle in the house, you know.
I know, as you say, though, it is part of people's individuality.
Oh, 100%.
It's part of their personality. Moving on back to the sort of business end of things, Sam, there's been, you know, it's no secret that the cost of living increase, the property prices, the rents, the minimum wage, it's been insurance. There's been a tsunami of costs against any service business over the last number of years. And barbers, I assume, are no different in terms of managing costs and basically setting their prices in order that you're able to make a profit. How challenging has that been?
Well, in our industry, the hair and beauty industry is an extremely difficult challenge for us. I'm not saying we're any different. We could all write the script for each other depending on what industry you're in. But in our industry, the legitimate business owners are playing on a very, very uneven playing field. And when you're trying to do the right thing, and then when you go into 24 with, you know, extra bank holidays, sick pay, increased minimum wage, increased in VAT, and then you're hit with your warehouse taxes, and then you get this stone cold face from revenue as regards to negotiating with that. That's hard, because an awful lot of the right business people done the warehousing in good faith to keep people employed, because we were all in it together at the time. Keep people employed. In our industry, we could have easily left 50% of our workload go and not incurring any of them warehouse taxes. But we didn't. We'd done the right thing, as we felt we were all in it together. And then to go into 24 with this stone cold increase in VAT, don't get me wrong, minimum wage, I think I want to pay my crew as much as I can. But when you're in the legitimate business and, for example, you're paying an increase in VAT when there's a lot of shop owners out there that aren't paying any VAT, when you're overpaying employees for them to come out with a net equal to what others are getting elsewhere with cash in hand, it's not sustainable for the legitimate business owners to stay here.
Vinny, it's one industry that's blighted with a black economy.
Yeah.
Being a major sort of competitor to legitimate businesses. And that must be very frustrating if you're doing your best to pay your taxes, to pay your insurances and do all that. And you see a fella, you know, working out of his garden.
I mean, this happens. I mean, it's especially if you go after COVID, after we reopened, a lot of people got very creative in COVID, cutting their own hair. And it has affected the industry in a way that most of these individuals that done these home cuts and, you know, are out in sheds and all at the moment cutting hair, there's good, what could you say, it's a good initiative for these young individuals doing it. The problem that this has for the industry is, one, loss of trade on the high street. But it also opens up a can of worms for these. There's nothing worse than an untrained, skilled person. Now, what I mean by that is they can learn to cut what's modern out in their shed for family and friends. The problem you have is the health and safety side of it, the aspect. You know, we're cutting with sharp tools. Things do happen. Infectious diseases, name it, hepatitis, all these kind of things. And if you're not trained to know these things and see them when they happen, it causes an awful lot of issue, as well as the fact that what happens if something goes wrong out in the shed? What happens if the young individual out in the shed takes the top of an ear off or clips someone, and they do it on someone who was a family or a friend of a friend who's now, you know, it's removed from them? What happens then?
Yeah, no. That's not your problem in the sense, because you're one of the legitimate players.
Exactly, but if these individuals come and learn the trade correctly, all aspects of it, not just what's modern hair and cutting hair, come and do what I've experienced these lads in the past, come to the Empire School of Barbering, learn all about how the industry works. They get all round a better approach to the industry.
Okay, now I want to just tell our listeners I've got three of Ireland's best barbers here in studio. If you've got any texts or anything that you want to ask them, get them into us and we'll try and get to them soon. In fact, one has just come in that I'm going to put to you, Veronica. My 15-year-old son wants to get a zero blade all over. My God. Any advice on how to talk him out of it?
Show him a couple of pictures.
Yeah.
Show him a couple of pictures.
Of what a zero blade would look like. And you'd think he'd change his mind fairly lively. All right, we'll keep those texts coming in. We'll get back to them in a minute. Vinny, just in terms of training for a barbecue, to be a barber, am I right in saying that your academy, that, you know, a young lad or a young girl can be reasonably competent after about 12 weeks?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. It comes down to the nature of the training. As we've devised a course that goes stage by stage through the learning process. The early stages are very much based on, you know, learning the haircut, learning styles on a mannequin, very one-to-one with educators, and learning, you know, various cuts, beard shapes, all of course, but also the health and safety aspect of it. And as we move through our 12 weeks, we have a huge support from, you know, people coming to get free haircuts. You have to learn on humans.
And how does that work? If I rock up as a guinea pig, you give me a free haircut, but it's done by some fellow who's only 3 weeks in the game.
It depends on what stage that they're at.
Right.
Okay. So if you come in on week 6, you know.
So nothing's free, really.
Nothing's free, but if you come in at week 6, it's done it's done in stages with an educator. But by week 8, 9, our people who come to our school well have the tools to cut hair and cut effectively and efficiently.
If you are getting taught by somebody, and you're in the chair getting your hair cut, you're getting a better haircut than you would.
Yeah,
that's what I would.
Because you have two people.
Well, if you've a controlled environment.
If you've someone whose follic needs are as simple as mine, just blade one all over. Yeah. Like there's not much to mess up in my case.
With Vinny and Veronica and all that, like back in our day, it was an apprenticeship. We'd done apprenticeships, and the hair and beauty industry was a lifestyle change. You went into that it's not a job. If you want a job, you go into a spa and you learn how to make a fillet roll. No disrespect to making a fillet roll. I love them. And they're almost like an institution within Ireland now, the chicken fillet. But like, you know, you can train up over 2 weeks how to make that. A barbering is an apprenticeship.
How long was the apprenticeship traditionally?
4 years.
4 years.
It was 4 years, yeah. You were 1 year as a trainee, and then you were 2 years as a junior barber, yeah. And then a year learning your trade. But what Vinnie has done successfully is, you know, kids don't want that now. People don't want to go in and do an apprenticeship like that. So what Vinnie has done is an amazing job on how to kind of compact all of that. And then, which we have done with the Empire at Sam's Barbers, is take on some of his crew after their courses and then start getting them that shop experience.
Yeah, exactly. And that's key. It's we do a beginners and vocational barber course. So 70% of what the students learn and people who want to learn from a barber when they come to our school is it's done on live models.
Yeah.
There's no, we're a non-academic industry. So we ain't going to be pulling out spreadsheets and pie charts.
It's all about experience, isn't it? And it's all about learning on the job, yeah. And you build up your skills by actually doing stuff.
Exactly. And the more the students do on live models. I'll give you an example. If a student's on my course, we average on a night when they cut live models, they're going to get 3 to 4 haircuts in per training night.
Yeah.
Which is a phenomenal rate, yeah. Compared to you know,
me standing outside the cattle market in 1983 asking, do you want a free haircut? F off.
You know?
Veronica, can I ask you about, you've said that the whole idea of working from the bottom up is dying now, that young girls and young lads, they just don't want to do this kind of work, or they don't want to learn. They're not patient enough to wait and to do the training. They want everything now.
Yeah.
So how do you deal with that?
I don't know. Well, I had my niece, she trained with me and she started from the bottom up and she's fantastic. Like, she's over a year with me now. She's cutting.
Yeah.
She's amazing. We've taught her everything, but we had 5 of us in the shop showing her. So she learned something different off all of us.
Mm.
And then she's going to pick her own way of cutting hair.
Yeah.
She's going to cut hair the same. Nobody does. Everybody does it different. But she's thriving now. She basically did an apprenticeship, if you want to put it with me, but there is no regulation for apprenticeship anymore for barbering, which I think is terrible. Why not?
Mm.
That'll probably affect you, but...
Yeah.
I think it's great if kids can get off the street and get in and work. Why not? You know?
Absolutely.
Too many on the dole. Get them off the dole. Give them an apprenticeship. Give them something to do.
But the one thing that the young people coming into the industry, you know, have to be aware of, that it takes time to build your clientele and build your reputation. And the new age of barbering, with, as you said, the touch on social media and Instagram. For us in Empire, we have a booking system and we can engage with our clients through email, through the booking system that we have. It's very interactive with our clients. It makes us a better shop. So if we have a new barber coming on the floor, we will already introduce that new barber to our clients down the email tube. So there'll be pictures of their work. We'll introduce who they are.
Yeah.
So when they come into the booking system, they no longer go, they're creatures of habit, they no longer go to the people who they're familiar with and say, you know what, I've seen this could be Aidan who works in our shop now, he's the most relevant. Well,
it just shows the relevance of social media now.
It's vital.
In terms of pre-selling somebody.
It's vital.
Yeah.
It's the new shop windows and it's a good thing for our industry. It's fantastic.
Sam, there's a couple of more texts here. One texter who's anonymous, actually. I wonder why. Do your guests have any advice on a good hair dye that doesn't look bad, trying to hide my oncoming grey? Like, now yours.
Sam's a crazy, crazy.
Easy.
I have the Just Fionnflism my hair now.
Yourself,
Bobby,
Sam.
I'm gonna like you. I have the Just Fionnflism.
Look, I say let it flow. You know, there's nothing worse than looking at an individual. Look, if a gent was to go out and dye their hair, right, most gents' styles are quite short, so that means they're going to have to regularly do it. And if they're not getting it done professionally, it's going to look bad. And
then, that sort of Grecian 2000 look.
Yeah. And it's just going to look bad. And then they're going to get peed off having to go into the barber or the salon to get their hair topped up. So the way I see it is they're not going to look younger. They're just going to look like the old lad trying to look younger.
Yeah. And that stands out, doesn't it? Yeah,
Vinnie, there's one here for you. Any advice for our neurodiverse 7-year-old who hates getting his hair cut? We've tried barbers, but it doesn't go well. So this is a nervous kid,
yeah,
who's very sensitive to whatever the
noise. This comes down to as well to how well the barber they're bringing the child to. You know, if someone came into my shop and the child was nervous with clippers and stuff, we just go on to scissor work.
Yeah.
You know, find ways around making it happen. I mean, we've had times where we've been chasing kids around the barber shop on our knees just to get the haircut done. in our particular shop, if there's a lot going on in the shop, like our mirrors are big, nothing's too close in our shop in Empire. It's open, we've a pool table, we've all this kind of stuff. It's very airy and there's a lot for them to be looking at.
Yeah.
And it's kind of keeping them distracted to a degree while they're getting it done. And if it's something they don't like, you know, you have to find a way around it. If it's the clippers, if it's he's afraid of the scissors, but not the clipper, cut the hair with the clipper and the comb all over. If it's scissors, do it the other way.
One little tip I'd have for that techs are in and they give it to their barber is that what I've always done over the years is when I have a nervous child in the chair and they're getting a bit of clipper work and all that is let them, and Veronica's nodding her head here, agreeing with me, because we're not recreating the wheel here, is let the kid hold the clippers in their hand, let them turn it on with the switch, let them feel the vibration of it, let them run it with the number four.
Good idea.
On it.
Yeah,
let them hold the scissors. Obviously, don't give them the scissors. Let the barber interact with the child and give the child's confidence in the barber that what they're using is not a scary tool. If somebody, for example, has autism or something like that and really needs help like that, don't be afraid to ask your barber, would you mind if I came in a little bit earlier, maybe in the afternoon when you're quiet and we could work with each other. Most barbers will 100% work with people.
All right,
well, just to go back on that, Bobby, real quick there, another thing I find as well, which is good, is don't force the child to get his hair cut. Go down with the dad or bring them down to the barber. Yeah. They're sitting there for a little bit, see their dad or their brother or their uncle.
100%.
Getting that
slowly,
haircut.
Slowly.
And then in the next week or two, bring them in and they kind of get familiar. Oh, this is actually not a bad thing to get done.
Well, look, you're all great ambassadors for your trade. Delighted to talk barbers today with Sam Donnelly, owner of Sam's Barbers, Vinnie McAvoy from the Empire School of Barbering in Talla, and Veronica McArdle from D16 Barbers. Thanks very much and enjoy the rest of your weekend.
Bobby, cheers.
Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 11 on News Talk.
What does innovation sound like? It sounds like the luxury of being in the moment with your customer, client, or patient. It sounds like having the right information right when you need it. It sounds like being at your best for your customers and your business. Thanks to Hyland's intelligent content solutions that improve digital processes, innovators everywhere are able to do their thing better, whatever that thing is. Now, who doesn't like the sound of that? Hyland, for innovators everywhere. Visit Hyland.com.